Do the first Ramban, the Yeshev, try to get a little perspective. Okay, the Pasuk is a short Pasuk, but there's a lot here. Yeshev Yaakov Eretz Miguri Aviv Eretz Kenan. What exactly is the message of this first Pasuk? What's it doing here? What's the idea? Yeshev Yaakov, stressing the Yeshev, stressing it was Miguri Aviv, it was the land that his father dwelt in, and it was Eretz Kenan. So the Ramban has a few short words, but there's a lot contained within these words. The Ramban writes as follows: Vayeshev Yisrael, Vayeshev Yaakov, Eretz Miguri Aviv, Ki Omar, Shalufei Esav, Yashu Be'eretz Achuzasam, Kulom Ha'aretz Shelo Kulahem Achuzas Olam. It states earlier in Pashas Vayishlach, Vayeshev Esav, Bahar Seir, Esav Hu'edom. The same language as Vayeshev is found by Esav earlier. And where did Esav settle? The Alufei Esav settled in the land that they took as for possession, inheritance. Kulom Ha'aretz Shelo Kulahem Achuzas Olam. They took that for their possession for eternity. However, Yaakov, he dwelt as a ger, like his father. Notice the Meguri Aviv. Meguri Aviv means where his father would be living, but not that he owned the land, not that it was his for eternal possession. And it was Canaan. So what's the idea? The contrast is striking. Esav settled in a land which was to be his permanent inheritance for generations, and that's the land of Seir. Here you have Yaakov settling in a land that is right now not his, or it doesn't represent right now his possession. Basically, he's living in a land that's not, it's not owned by him. He's not yet taking full possession. He's a ger. This is where his father was a ger. He continues the gerus of his father, Beretz Miguri Aviv. But that was what he decided to do right now, Vakavana. The message is, L'hagid kihein bocharim lagor be'eretz hanifcheres. They, meaning Yaakov and the children, they have chosen to live as gerim in the chosen land. V'shiniskayim behem, and here's the real takeaway message, v'shiniskayim behem ki geyer zarecha be'eretz lo lahem, that will be fulfilled through them, the pasuk that was stated in Lech Lecha regarding Avram Avinu, that your children will be gerim in a land that's not theirs, which refers not just to the Eretz Mitzrayim, it doesn't say Mitzrayim, it says the Eretz Lohem, the land of Nadirs, the Lo Be'esav, and that fulfillment would not be done through Esav, ki Be'yakov Levadu Yikorelem Zera, because the continuation of the legacy of Avram goes through Yitzchak and then to Yaakov and not through Esav. So the idea that Yaakov is going to live over here in Eretz Canaan right now is because the choice was made that they should remain Gerim, because if they're Gerim, they're fulfilling the destiny of Avraham Avinu and not the destiny of Esav. Esav's destiny was the short, you know, quick fix, you might say. He settled where he settled, and he has what he has, and this is where he's happy. And here, we're not happy now, but we know that ultimately we're getting there. That's where ultimately the fulfillment of the promised land will come to pass, when it becomes our land. Right now it's not our land, right now it's Negurei Aviv, right now it's just a place that we are representing just a strangers in this land, but it will become ours because that was a promise. But the promise starts off as being a ger, being a sojourner. I think there's a very important idea that we can develop from this Ramban, and that is that, first of all, think about Haggadah Shel Pesach. The Pasuk in Yehoshua that we quote in Haggadah Shel Pesach speaks about Yaakov Uvan of Yordu Mitzrayim. That's how the paragraph ends. It's a pasuk in Yehoshua. It begins by talking about Terach and the fact that we are origins, we're of the Avodah Zarah. And now Hashem chose us and selected us as a chosen nation. And the pasuk is quoted there from Yehoshua that the Eva Hano Yoshbo Sechem Yeolam. Va'ekach es Avichem es Avram. I took your father Avram and I led him through Eretz Canaan and I gave him many children and gave him Yitzchak. And I gave Yitzchak two children, Yaakov and Esav. And then it says as follows: The eten leEsav is haseir lereshes also. I gave Esav for his inheritance haseir. The Yaakov van Yordu Mitzrayim. What exactly is the message of that pasuk? Why is it talking about haseir for Esav, and it continues on with Yaakov going to Mitzrayim? The answer is obvious, and it's really a Rashi at the end of Vayishlach when the pasuk tells us that Esav decided to leave Eretz Canaan after Yaakov returned. Vayelchel Eretz mepnei Yaakov achiv. Esav decides to relocate, picks everybody up, the whole family, and goes to Eretz Seir. And of course, he ended up taking over, and he militarily, he took conquest of this land. It became his. Rashi explains over there that Esav opted out. Esav felt that Yaakov's mission is to be in Canaan and to continue the chain of Avraham Avinu, and in so doing, he's going to have to pay a price. The price is Kigiyah Zarecha Beretz Golahem. It may start right now, but it's going to continue in another land. Right. It's going to continue in Mitzrayim. And that's what Esav was willing to grant Yaakov. Esav felt, I don't want that. I'd rather have a good life right now. I'll settle down in Seir, and this will be my future. This is the contrast. The contrast is Esav's legacy is to be in Seir and to get his Olam Hazeh, and that's what he wants and that's what he represents. Yaakov Avinu's legacy, and it's not just in terms of this particular idea of getting Eretz Canaan ultimately and starting off as a ger and going to Mitzrayim, it represents a vision in life. The vision in life of Yaakov is a vision of willing to sacrifice in the short term for the ultimate gain that comes in the future. In other words, the Musar Haskel, I think, that comes out of this one pasuk, and the Ramban's idea is that Esav is the personification of self-gratification. You know, I want it now, I want it quickly, I don't want to have to suffer, I don't want to have to work hard, I just want to have, you know, the good life here and now, and that's what matters. Yaakov's vision and Klal Yisrael's vision is a vision of being willing to hold off, to be able to say, okay, it's going to be a struggle, but it's worth it. And ultimately, the reward will come ultimately. I'm willing to delay that gratification and be willing to go through the toil and the struggle that comes in the interim. That's what Avraham Avinu's legacy is all about. Yes, Zarecha Beretz Golahem. It's not going to be right away. Eretz Yisrael will come to you. But it will come to you through suffering. Eretz Yisrael Nikdei B'Yisurim. There's going to be a crucible of Kor Barzel Mitzrayim, and it's not going to start there. It's going to start even Eretz Canaan. It's Eretz Meguri Aviv. You don't feel like it's yours, and yet you know that it's going to be ultimately. You're going to come to Eretz Yisrael. It's a different experience. This is really what Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba represent. Olam Hazeh is the good life, so to speak, right now. Olam Haba is what you earn when you go through the nisyonos of Olam Hazeh, and the idea of schar in Lasid Lavo is what the Sfarim tell us, is the idea that it shouldn't be nama de kisufa. Nama de kisufa is an expression. It means bread of shame. Bread of shame means that if a person just gets whatever they get without working at it, without feeling that they earned it, doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't mean very much. I mean, you just feel entitled. This is a feeling of entitlement. And then if you're entitled, look how many celebrities today that have gone into wealth. Next thing you know, they're crashing. They need another high. They're getting drugs. They're getting whatever it is. And then what is left in terms of the reputation? And sometimes if a person realizes that they have to work for something, they put in the effort, and it may be hard in the beginning, and it may be hard as you continue to struggle. But then ultimately you feel like, wow, I was kona something. I got it, and I appreciate it, and I feel that I can take in what the rewards are, because it came to me through toil, through sweat. This is again a Musar Haskel, but it starts from this idea. Yaakov Avinu, as opposed to Esav. Esav is, I'm giving him a segel reshes, so, and there he is. He settles down, and the story's over. Yaakov Avinu is a different story. This is also why Rashi continues to tell us here as well, the Rashi, in terms of, again, the contrast, Yaakov and Esav. The Torah gives you short thrift about Esav. Ki amar shalufei Esav yashu beretz achuzasam, the land that they took. I'm actually looking Rashi. Esav halach al eretz neYaakov achiv, avo Yaakov yashav etzel av eretz megurav. I'm looking at Rashi. Achar shekasav l'cha yishuvei Esav etoldosa b'derach kitzara. Shelo yisfunim v'chashuv mufaresh hechnis yashvu, and so on. There's a story to be told if you wanted to tell it about Esav and how he took over the land of Seir. It didn't happen one night. It happened over weeks, months, whatever. There were battles that probably could be written about. The Torah doesn't tell me much about it. We talked last week about how the Ramban also mentions that. But Rashi says the point is, it's not important. There's no message in that. Yeah, there's a lot of Dvarim Shel Mabakach. Yeah, it's interesting if you're curious, so you can read about it. But the Torah is not interested in just giving you information for the sake of satisfying your curiosity. The Torah just tells me, you know, okay, here it is. They got their chiefs. They got settled. This is all it. Let's get finished with that. And now let's tell the real story. The real story to be told is starting with Vayeshev Yaakov. So Rashi continues, Pirushalcha Yishuv Yaakov V'Todos V'Derech Haruka Kol Kigul Yisibasam. Exactly, the twists and the turns. V'Sheheim Chashuvim V'Fnei Amokom L'Harech Behem. It's a beautiful idea that Rashi is bringing out here. And it's, again, going dovetailing beautifully with the Ramban. Esav has a story, but this Torah is not telling you that story. We have to choose in life what stories we want to read about, what stories we want to tell our children. You know, there's a lot of palace intrigue, whether it's today in the president of the United States, whether it's 100 years ago, 500 years ago in whatever palace, whatever king lived. The Rambam talks in Pirush HaMishnayos of Avos in Perek Aleph about the importance of speech and the different types of speech. He says different types of speech, and there's speech of Lashon Hara, speech which is evil. The speech is mabekach. Okay, people like to talk about what he wear today, what did he wear today, what does she wear, and you look at the newspapers today, and you know, on the internet, what it's filled with is, you know, okay, people fill their time talking about and talk radio. You know, and be medayik and this and that. Okay, as far as we're concerned, that's not what matters. It's here and it's there, and it's always going to be something that people like to talk about, but it's not valuable information. The valuable information is the things that bring chizuk with them, the things that teach moral lessons, the things that teach ethics, and the things that ultimately inspire. Again, that's the point in the Rashi, that's the point of the Ramban. So Esav gets very short thrift. And then Yaakov and his story, that's the story that Torah wants us to hear about. Okay, this is, I think, some important ideas to contemplate, both in terms of Pshuto Shemikra, in terms of the Musa Haskel that comes from it.